El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Well, a very pleasant good evening, and I am Margaret Gray. Now, Phil is going to be here in a moment. I know this is probably a little shocking to a lot of you, and I can assure you that Phil will be here. But I did request a few minutes at the beginning of the program, and hopefully we can make this something that is a nightly or a twice a week event, perhaps something that is once a week, where the Margaret Gray moment or corner or hour or whatever you want to call it, where we can look at the more serious issues in life. This is the only this would be the only criticism I guess I have of Phil's presentation. I love Phil. I think he's a very talented guy, but I would like to speak seriously about a lot of the issues that are confronting the American people. And to that end, Miles.
Good evening, Margaret.
We have Miles Gordon with us. Miles Gordon is a longtime friend of mine. Let's get that out of the way.
Absolutely. I'm very proud to say that.
And I'm very proud that you are. But we do have different political perspectives, don't we?
We've had them for a long time, and it doesn't keep me from being a friend of yours. I hope that we remain friends.
Oh, absolutely. I've never believed that political opposition, opposing points of view politically, or whatever you'd like to call it, I have never believed that should keep people from being friends. But let's sort of put that aside for a moment, because one of the reasons why I asked Miles to come on the program this evening so that I could do a little Q&A here, we want to talk about the Republican Party. We want to talk specifically about the Republican candidate for president, Mitt Romney.
And I'd like to talk about your candidate as well.
And we will talk about President Obama, but let's lay our cards on the table, as they say. Miles, and you and I have had this discussion. What happened to, and I'm going to be very, I'm going to challenge you, all right?
That's fine. I welcome the challenge.
All right, good. What happened to all of the big talk from the Republicans?
Well, let me ask you, what big talk are you talking about?
Well, Miles, I think you know the big talk I'm talking about. We heard...
I know a little bit of big talk, but I don't know...
We heard constantly from the Republican Party over the last 4 years a lot of real big talk about how, oh my goodness, this guy Obama, he is going to ruin the country.
And I think he's well on his way to doing that, Margaret.
Well, all right, but what I'm trying to tell you is this. It seems to me, and we can have a difference of opinion on that, it seems to me that this prediction by the Republicans that Obama would ruin the country has not gained any traction. The big talk wasn't selling.
I think, first of all, I want to say this. I think that President Obama is well on his way to doing some very serious damage to this country. And I think the obvious evidence of that is the Obama health care plan.
Well, but I don't want to get into debating the policy, if that's all right with you.
I think it's important, though, to talk about the policy.
Well, I understand that, but I don't want to get into that right now. I'm asking basically this. Why did the American people reject the Republican Party message?
I don't think they have.
And all right. Now, are you being honest?
No, I will acknowledge this. I acknowledge that the American people have decided that whatever it is Governor Romney is saying that is not resonating with them needs to be adjusted. It may be too late. I don't know. There's elements of the message that Governor Romney is attempting to communicate to the American people that are not working.
All right. So it's Governor Romney's style. Is that what you're saying?
I think a lot of it is.
Though you don't even want to acknowledge the fact, which I think is a fact, Miles, that the Republican message did not resonate in general. I don't care who is running for president. The Republican message of less government, tax cuts, no relief for the average person when it comes to these onerous expenses with regard to health care.
I would not necessarily say that we're saying there's no relief. I'm just saying that President Obama's solutions are not the solutions that are going to work for the American people. That I think needs to be said.
Yes, I understand what needs, but again, you're missing what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you is the following thing. The American people are not buying what the Republican Party is selling, and the Republican Party, for their part, engaged in real big shot, you know what I mean, big talk.
I still don't know what you mean by big talk.
You don't know what I mean by big talk. I'm saying that the Republican Party got out there during the last 4 years, either in the person of elected representatives or in the person of the deans of the party or the elder statesmen of the party, whether it was a John McCain or the so-called shining stars like Sarah Palin, or these neo-neocons like Michelle Bachmann.
Well, now don't hold me to anything Michelle Bachmann says. I think Michelle Bachmann, in a lot of ways, is a bit clownish.
So you admit Michelle Bachmann's clownish?
Well, yes, I think the Republican Party, the mainstream Republican Party, sees her as being clownish.
Well, then we have the answer to the problem. The problem is the Republican Party has a very extreme element to it that the mainstream Republicans don't like and are repelled by and will eventually vote for Obama because of this racism and...
Well, no, I don't... That's not racism. That's not what... Michelle Obama...
No, you know that Michelle Obama is... She's uneducated, she is quasi-racist, and she is a homophobe.
Oh, I completely disagree with that. I would say that I don't...
Well, what about it do you disagree with? This woman is such a homophobe that she's married to a very clearly closeted gay man, and she just has the blinders on.
Well, I wouldn't call that a homophobe then. I would say that that's someone who is so gender blind or orientation blind or something that she went ahead and she married a man who you say is gay. I don't think that the man's gay, but you say he is. And in her way, she has said, well, you know...
Hold on. I've paid my dues.
What are you...
Time after time, I've done my sentence.
Margaret, I'm not here.
Hold on, but committed no crime.
I'm not here to be a prop.
And bad mistakes. You're not a prop. I've made a few. I've had my share of sand kicked in my face, but I've come through. Go on and on and on. The Democrats are the champions, okay?
Oh, for Christ.
No, Miles, where are you going?
If I knew this was what you were going to...
And we'll keep on fighting till the end. Yes.
If I knew you were setting me up for this bullcrap...
We are the champ. Miles, sit down. We are the champions. No time. No.
I think this is very wrong. Would you turn that down, please?
Of the world. You notice the breath control that I have?
Yeah, would you turn that down, please?
Don't. I've taken my bows and my curtain calls. You reached over and grabbed it.
Yes, I did. I did not know that I was being set up by you to play a clown.
You reached over with that hand right there, and you grabbed it.
Ms. Gray, what I did...
Oh, it's Ms. Gray now. You and I were very close friends, but now it's Ms. Gray.
Margaret, I came on the program this evening to talk to you about the Republican Party and to be very candid about how we might have slipped up and might have lost momentum and perhaps missed our opportunity, but I didn't know that I was going to be a prop on the program here this evening for your singing.
Well, all I did was sing, and I thought you could join me, and instead you reached over with that hand. No, the other one.
Yes.
Well, why do you have it in your pocket?
I don't know. It's just an instinctive thing.
No, you put it in your pocket, I think, because suddenly it's filthy to you. Do you understand what I... Here's Phil.
Hi. You guys have to go to break? How are you, sir?
Phil, this is Miles Gordon, friend of mine.
Mr. Henry, it's nice to meet you. How are you, sir? What's going on?
Well, I was singing We Are the Champ. I told you everything I was going to do.
Yeah.
And Miles reached over and grabbed it.
The fader?
Yeah. Now, there's a lot of ways I can go with this, Miles. Sexual harassment, I don't want to do.
I didn't sexually harass you. I reached over and pulled down that fader.
Yeah, but when you touch this while I'm on the air, it's like touching me. You see? Do you ever remember the...
All right, Margaret, let's not get dramatic. We have to take a break.
Excuse me, Mr. Henry, but this man reached over and grabbed the fader on the board and adjusted the volume. When you do that while I am the host of the show, that's like touching me. Okay?
We saw a Western last night, Mr. Gordon, in which the guy said, "You hit my dog, mister, that's like hitting me," and now she's...
No, no, no. It's got nothing to do with that cheap, stinking, rotten Western we were looking at.
It was Big Valley, which was a show that she had an audition for, so... We're going to take a break, folks.
You know something? Oh, boy.
Well, I think it's about time someone sort of preempted you, ma'am.
Yeah, now it's ma'am.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Margaret Gray will be back with us. Thank you very much, Mr. Gordon. Thank you very much, Phil. And I can tell you now that I had no idea that I would be set up this way.
I've paid my due. Come on.
Turn it down. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show.
Time after time.
Time after time. Committed a crime.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
What's going on, man? What? Why are... by the way, welcome back, folks. We're back. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Why did the transition... Why are the transition effects changed?
What do you mean?
I mean the transition that we do on Phil TV and HD, and if you don't have Phil TV and HD, it's okay. I'm just talking about anybody that may be watching the show, which you can do on our website if you are a Backstage Pass member. But the transition was some whack job effect.
I did that. Are you talking about how the slide comes up? Do it, bud.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, what do you mean you did it?
I thought it would look nicer. You know, Phil, one of the problems that I see with you is that you are so consumed with the business of your show, and you're so consumed with the administrative tasks, the administrative duties. You understand?
Yeah.
Well, why am I not... I don't see the glimmer of understanding.
I understand, Margaret. Please don't try and read my mind. I understand.
All right, what's wrong with what I just did there?
I don't like that. There's nothing wrong with it, okay?
All right.
But it's not your job. It's my job.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. And I think that people in the audience can understand me. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you that are listening and aren't just sitting there nodding off from all of this...
Oh, thank you very much for that.
Well, Phil, those of you that are still listening, those of you that are still mercifully listening because you've taken pity on Phil and you're hanging in, waiting for something, anything, oh my God, you know.
Well, what is this about? Are you going to rip into my show now?
No, but why do you think I did what I did at the top of the show?
Oh, let me guess, to kind of spice things up. Is that it?
As a matter of fact, yes, it is.
Okay, so you brought on a guy who thought he was going to talk about the Republican Party, this, that, and you broke into song, and you made that guy feel like a clown. You made him feel like he was a prop in some vaudeville act. You got your little singing kicks out.
Did you ever consider the fact, Phil, that it might have been entertaining?
Margaret?
Did you ever consider the fact that people might have been entertained?
Why do you do that all the time? I can't stand it.
Do what?
Y'all get entertained. Yeah,
you do that, man. That whacked me out. Man, oh, man.
You know something, Robert, and I don't mean anything by this, but when you get confused, you sound very Negro.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
Margaret, what is that supposed to mean?
No, she's just being racist.
That's like a lot of liberals are like that. A lot of liberals are like this. You try, you pretend like you're colorblind. You're a racist.
I am not racist. How dare you? My best friend in high school dated a black man. What are you looking at, Phil?
Margaret, I don't want to go on with your credentials here. You've already screwed up two nights running. Last night it had something to do with you people. Tonight, why, when you get excited, you come on like a Negro. What does that mean?
Oh, my God. So you're going to make that the issue. You're not going to make the issue the fact that I am trying to upgrade the administrative duties of your show. You want to make me into a sheet-wearing, cross-burning...
Yeah, keep going.
I'm going to...
Get away from me!
Don't you touch him. You really screwed up. You screwed up with that comment, okay?
I'm going to leave the show.
Oh, you're going to leave the show? Why? Why? Because there's no free speech?
Look, Margaret, you're not going to be able to talk your way... You remember Michael Richards?
Oh, my sweet, feathery Jesus. Are you trying to tell me... That was a Michael Richards moment?
It wasn't as bad, but you walked right up to the line. You walked right up to the line. You know, your liberal credentials are going to get you only so far. Do you understand? And then you're going to be out there on your own. Even liberals, you know, you can hide behind your friends and hide behind your contacts and hide behind your philosophy only so much. And then you come off with a comment like, you know, Robert, when you get excited, you come off like a Negro. What does that mean anyway?
Yeah, I know what it means. It means I'm coming off like... like a Beretta suspect or something, you know.
What do you mean a Beretta suspect?
You like that TV show, Beretta?
No, I didn't say that at all.
Yeah. You know that TV show, Beretta?
Yeah.
Well, every time Beretta would, arrest a black suspect, the black suspect would be like this. He'd be like, oh, man, please, oh.
Yeah, he'd be sweating and nervous.
Exactly. And that's what you're saying.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, what you're doing is you engaged in a stereotype. That's what you did, okay?
How do you figure that my credentials are as impeccable as Geraldine... Oh, I shouldn't have said it.
Yeah, Geraldine Ferraro. She's another one that stuck her big fat foot in her mouth. I maintain, and I will always maintain, that in America, the problem of race, if you will, race relations, racial attitude... don't give me this bull crap. Everybody's ass is up for grabs on that one. I don't care if they're Republicans or Democrats.
What about black people?
I think black people, that's a whole other, I'm not going to talk about black people. That's a whole other dynamic. There's a whole other thing happening there, okay? Follow the hate. You remember Ice Cube's, what was the song he did?
But that rap, it's all Last Word.
Last Words. Ice Cube in the rap song. Last words, he says, follow the hate. And
well, what does that mean?
It means that the hate originated...
With the white people? Oh, boy, that's almost as controversial as what she done.
No, it's not. It originated with the hate originated with those that hated, which were the slaveholders and the slave owners.
So white people are genetically inferior as the result of the hate. That's what you're saying.
No, I didn't say that. No, I did not say that. I didn't say they were genetically inferior. I'm saying that there was a moment in history when the moneyed classes of whites that were engaged in slave trading, were the people that sparked the entire slave trade, which sparked the entire underclass of ex-slaves, African-Americans that were struggling to make it in this country. And there was a whole... I don't want to... You know, why are we talking about this?
Because you made a big deal about me telling Robert he was coming off like a Negro.
You know, I got to tell you, Mr. Henry, I'm more bored with what you're saying right now than angry with what she said.
Oh, okay. Well, I wouldn't want to bore you.
That's true. You know, at least we had a nice conversation. Now all you're going, well, black people.
Okay, fine.
No. I mean, you got to understand, Mr. Henry, and we're not, you know, I'm on your side. I've been with you a long time.
Okay, bud, I get it.
Yeah, but when you start talking... You know, about race, you go, well, you see, bud. And
that's exactly what it sounds like.
I think that you should be, you know.
Okay, you made your point, all right.
I was like this. Tell me, is this it? Race relation in America is something that has to be changed, and the white people and the black people.
Yeah, that's exactly what he sounds like.
Get a great day, nigga. Okay,
all right. I get it. God.
Yeah, you don't have to get all pissed off about it.
I'm not pissed. I'm just, let's move on. You're right. I made an ass out of myself. Everybody's making an ass out of themselves tonight, if you ask me. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let's talk about Mitt and the chance that he has to redeem himself, according to the pundits. And, oh, God, is this a scary story. An Oregon farmer attacked and eaten by his pigs? Maybe. And then we have a Senate panel criticizing the anti-terrorism data sharing, as well as a articulated desire to go find the guys that committed the murders in Libya, actively find them and Phil kill them. Henry. Let's talk about that. Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com. philhenryshow.com is where we have literally I don't know what you would call it. It's like it's a Smithsonian Institute of Radio Audio. We've got over 4,000, actually close to 5,000 hours of audio. These are complete three-hour shows. They go back over a decade, and not only that, we have video casts. We have webcasts that that are archived from years ago. We've got interviews. We've got lots of media, even animated clips where we took our characters and animated them, and it's all there at philhenryshow.com. philhenryshow.com. So get a backstage pass and join us there. You'll be glad you did. That's what they used to say in the back in the day.
What?
They used to say, you'll be glad you did.
What's that mean?
It means you'll be glad you did, you know.
It means you'll be glad that you...
What?
Are they being serious?
Are you guys screwing around?
Yeah, sort of.
Quit it. I don't know what it means.
You don't know what it means? What an idiot.
Oh, he's an idiot now, huh?
Well, yeah, I know what it means.
What it means, Robert, is you'll be glad you did. If you take our advice and you buy a subscription to the Phil Henry website, or if you're looking at a commercial about cars, or if you're looking at any commercial and they say, you'll be glad you did, it means you'll be glad that you took our advice and you purchased this product, because it's really great.
Oh, okay. You don't even know what that means?
Well, you probably had to have it explained to you. Excuse me, I'm very sorry.
Oh, my God.
God, Margaret!
I'm sorry, I had chicken sausage. It was the apple sausage.
What's that mean?
Shut up. Will you guys shut up for a minute? What's that mean?
It means I had the... That's the very delicious... I think it's called the Ghirardelli sausage. You know the Ghirardelli sausage?
No, I don't know it.
You don't... they have the chicken, the apple. I had four. And I... To be honest with you, I have to go to the toilet.
Well, then go to the toilet.
All right, but I didn't want to... Because, you know, right after you eat, I don't know about you, but it really pushes everything through, which is very healthy. And
okay, Margaret, that's fine. I don't want the details.
Oh, grow up.
Okay, I'll grow up, because you just go ahead.
I'm going to the... If anyone wants to know where I am, I'm going to the toilet. All right?
Yes, you said so, and we know.
All right, Phil, I'm just saying I've got to go to the toilet.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Jeez.
Why is she saying it?
I don't know, but it just, you know... And she's saying it the same way that some, you know, my mother used to say it. She'd say, I have to go toilet. You know, it wasn't I have to go to, it was I have to go toilet.
I got a feeling Margaret reminds you of your mom.
Well, maybe she does, okay? And that's all I want to say about that. Thank you. All right, so moving on here, folks. And we have on the line Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. And Larry, thanks for joining us. We were talking... Margaret was talking, I think, early on in the program with Miles Gordon, who is a Republican in California, and actually from Arizona. Do you know him?
I've not had the pleasure, Phil, of meeting Mr. Gordon. I certainly have had my sparring opportunities with Margaret Gray. She's can be at times a very irritating woman.
Well, yeah, and here she is.
Hold on, I want to talk to you, Larry. I'm in the toilet right now.
Yeah, all right.
Jeez. Hold on. Wait. I'm sorry, Phil. Just... Larry?
Yes, Margaret?
I want you... Don't you go anywhere. Right now, I'm having a bowel movement. All right, so it's going to take...
Okay, Margaret, why do you got to announce that?
Look at you getting all embarrassed by that.
What did she say? She's having a bowel movement?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay, fine, we understand.
Well, why are you getting it? It's a natural act. It's an act that God blessed us with the bowel movement. Do you understand that?
Margaret, I don't want to talk about this, okay?
What an ass. Boy, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you, when you conclude your business with her about whatever it is she's talking about, you want to call me back?
No, she's gone. All right. So what I'm asking you, Larry, did you hear the interview?
No, I did not. I know Miles from the state convention. We attended a state convention, California state convention together. And I was also very gratified to reciprocate. He reciprocated, invited us to Phoenix, and we had a great time there with the party delegates in Arizona. But I did not hear the interview. I could well imagine that it was some kind of a victory dance in the end zone, huh?
Well, it was a little bit. She was talking about, and I think before she broke into song, Margaret asked a very good question, and I will ask you this. What happened to the big talk, you know?
Well, what big talk are you talking about?
I'm talking, there was a lot of big talk from the Republicans.
I just heard you belch.
That wasn't me belching. That was just, I was swallowing some iced tea, okay?
I heard her belch, and then the next thing you know, she's got to run off to the toilet. And
okay, let's move past that, and let's just talk about what we're talking about, which is the Republican, what I call the big talk from the Republicans, what Margaret calls it, the same thing. There was a lot of talk about how Obama was going to wreck the country and how Obama's policies were ruinous. Now, Miles said to her he believes that Obama is well on his way to ruining the country.
I don't think there's any doubt in my mind. There's certainly no doubt in my mind. I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind who knows just exactly what the cost is going to be for some of these programs that Obama's, you know, is ramming down the throat of the American people. The health care plan is Obama stands poised, almost like, you know, if you're talking about the farmers, you were talking about those hogs eating everything. Obama's like the farmer with a goose, and he's got that funnel, and he is with almost a leer on his face, almost a sadistic leer. The taxpayer is a goose, and Obama is just jamming into the throat of this goose every bit of garbage he can find until the goose is a fat, big, fat tub of guts goose. That's us. And
well, the image doesn't exactly...
Well, yeah, well, if you think about it in the terms that I'm trying to impart to you, then it does make sense. If you want to go your own way and you don't want to see my context, then I guess it's a funny image, but I would say to you, please look at it my way. And if you look at it my way, you and I are taxpayers. We have a big fat ass on us. We're waddling around with web feet. We got long necks and a beak. I guess that doesn't make sense, but...
No, it doesn't make any sense.
What I'm saying is this. Obama is jamming us. It's full of garbage.
Well, it's more like a lot of people would say, if you want to use the goose analogy, he's plucking our feathers and getting us ready for the...
Oh, yeah, that's a very... say right there. I like that. I like that way better than mine. He's plucking the feathers. Now, I'm going to tell you this, Butch. You asked a question, and you said, what happened to the big talk? And I think that Miles put it very well. What big talk? What big talk are you talking about?
Just what I said. I mean, we were hearing... Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that a lot of the big talk from the Republican Party, it wasn't so much that you guys are right or wrong about what you predicted Obama would do. I'm not asking that. I'm asking, as Margaret did, of...
Where is she?
She's still in the bathroom.
Yeah, you want me to go look?
No, don't go look. You can knock on the door.
Okay.
Just very light. But don't be intrusive, okay?
I know. She had a bowel movement.
And don't announce it on the radio.
God, you got to get your crew under control.
So, most of...
Miss Gray? Hey! Hey, Miss Gray!
What the hell is this?
Hold on for a minute, will you?
Yeah, okay.
Just put Larry on hold. Thank you, Robert. Bud!
Hold on. Miss Gray!
What the hell are you doing?
Well, why'd you come out? Phil wants to talk to you.
God!
Bud, leave her alone, will you?
All right, I thought you were...
It's fine.
Is Margaret going to talk to me? Because she talked about big talk. The only big talk is coming out of her yet.
All right, the big talk was this. The big talk was this. It isn't that Obama is going to wreck the country. What the Republicans predicted, and I heard this countless times, the American people are going to be so fed up with this guy. I'm serious. You know?
Yeah.
The American people are so fed up with this guy and how he's wrecked everything. And the American people, boy, are they going to learn a hard lesson with this guy, Obama, and they'll be so ready to kick his ass out. And it didn't happen.
Well, you know, maybe Obama wasn't quite the disaster that we thought he would be, you know.
Yeah, but hold on for just a second. You still have not been able to sell the tickets, as they say. You have not been able to sell to the American people, as bad as he may be or as bad as he may not be, or what, we're still better, you know.
Well, you know, sell the tickets. You're making this sound like the this is Carlito's way, you know, when the Mexican in that movie was played by Al Pacino says that he says, I know these Italians, and they'll read this, but with their eyes closed. We'll never be able to sell these tickets. Is that what you're referring to?
And yeah, I'm referring to that line. I'm not referring to the scene.
All right, well, let me just put it, I know these Italians, and they'll read it with their eyes closed.
And what do you mean by you know these Italians?
I'm talking about the Republican structure, state by state, the Republican leadership. They're the Italians. And I know them, and they'll read this with their eyes closed.
What are they reading?
That we're going to lose. That I know these Italians. I'm just using the terminology that...
Okay, so how does that make them... what does that mean?
Doesn't mean anything.
Well, then what are you using this Italian...
You asked me, didn't you quote Carlito's way?
You're telling me, in other words, the Republican leadership, state by state, knows it's a lost cause.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I one of the guys that I know, you follow him, and you know Mike Murphy from the state of California. Mike's one of the great conservative commentators in America.
He's great. He's great. And he produced Dennis Miller's show.
Yeah, he did. Mike is a great and very honest conservative. He's a guy who'll tell you that Michelle Bachmann is about two coats shy of a full, however they say it. She's nuts. Okay? So Mike, he doesn't pull any punches. And I think you could talk to him and he'll tell you, we've lost this election. We are dead meat. We are dead. We're like that farmer that had a heart attack, fell over into the pig pen, and the only thing they found was his hat and a glove. And that was it. And that's what the Republican Party's going to be. We're going to be a farmer consumed by his own pigs.
All right, that's an ugly image.
You better believe it. Now, where is Gray?
All right, but don't just go find out where she is.
Yeah, okay.
All right, Phil Henry Show. Our number is 87.
Miss Gray, you got to find out, right?
That's the longest. I shouldn't say that she's a lady.
Yeah, okay. Let's just take a break. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Bud, I'm on the air, man.
Yeah, but. Ms. Gray, you gotta get out of here. Come on. What an earth.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Nobody spends that much time on a bowel movement.
Back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and on the line with me, Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. As we discuss, you know, Larry, I don't want to say that it's a fait accompli, you know, that the Republican Party has lost, they've lost the White House on this, that would be their second shot at it since President Bush left office, but it certainly looks that way, you know.
Phil, I'm not some pie in the sky. I'm not one of these idiots, all right? I grant you that we have in this party a bunch of real hillbillies. There's no question about it, and I think if any Republican listen to me, any conservative listen to me, if they deny that, then they're open your eyes. We got a lot of hillbillies. We got a lot of real dumb rednecks, and I put Michelle Bachmann in that category.
And you loved her, man.
What do you mean I loved her?
You, I swear to God,
I was, hey, Huck, that was my guy.
That's right, Mr. Remember how you say Huck?
Yeah. Okay, I got you wrong then.
Yeah, you better believe you got me wrong. Bachmann? Give me a little credit, will you? Bachmann, she couldn't find her ass with both hands. I'm telling you. And not only that, But that husband of hers, I don't got nothing against gay people. But you know what? I appreciate if a guy's honest about it. Don't go walking around like you're pretending you're straight when you're walking into a room like Mr. Blackwell with that whole mincy walk that he does. You know,
well, you know, some guys have a hard time, admitting it.
Like, Phil, you know, Margaret was singing a song, and I want to sing a song. And, Bud, have you got the...
What's going on here?
Hey. Buddy, you got that?
Yeah, I got queued up, Mr. Grover.
What is it with these people sending music over here, and I don't know anything about it?
I didn't think you'd mind, because Margaret butchered up the first part of your show with that singing of hers. Is she out of the toilet yet?
Let me go look.
No, don't go look. Don't go look.
Well, I don't mean literally. I'm not going to open a door.
Bud, don't go and bother her, okay?
That's the long... You understand it. There may be something wrong.
Yeah, what's she constipated or something? Sound like she is.
Well, she might be getting blood.
Okay, God! Would you guys knock it off?
Well, don't be all grossed out, Phil. It's a very... As Margaret said, it's a normal bodily thing. But let me get back to what we were talking about, and that is what has happened in our country... What has happened to our people? And when are we going to be able to get back to the values that made our country a great country? Now, I'm going to sing a song written by my friend Gene Raskin. And I think you know it. I think you know it, Phil. I think everybody out there knows it. It's a song about when Republicans could stare at each other and go, okay, you're not a whack job and a weirdo. Once upon a time, a tavern... Where we used to raise a glass or two. I got too fast, huh?
Yeah, wait for it.
Remember how we laughed away the hours and dreamed of all the great things and dreamed of all the great things we would do? Well, let me tell you, those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We'd live...
Oh, God, stop. Stop.
What the hell? What are you trying to pull anyway?
What I'm trying to pull? I'm done. I'm not trying anything. I'm ending it. Good God, that's the worst singing I've ever heard in my life. What are you trying to put him back? Larry?
I was trying... There's my la, 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 la. Where's the music?
Oh, I turned it down.
Turn it down. La, 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 la. I'll keep singing, and when you find the music, just go ahead and segue it in. La, la, la. Then the busy years went rushing by us.
It sounds bad, Larry.
Hold on. We lost our starry notions on the way. Nixon got, almost arrested, and then Republicans were nothing more than horses' hay. You there, you, we'd be in the tavern. Oh, forget it.
Yeah, that it ain't working.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, whatever you say there, Mr. Critic. But Ms. Gray, I would say...
She's not here.
Is she still there?
What do you mean is she still here?
Is she still in the bathroom squeezing one out?
Hold on.
Ms. Gray?
I'm here. Hold on. I have never in my life been so harassed. And what is this?
It was a song that Larry was singing.
Oh, I love this song. Like, la, 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 la. You know what? I, Larry, this is a beautiful song.
Well, I was trying to do what you do, which is the mingling and the mixing of different tempos.
You know, this...
Oh, wait. I don't want to sing any songs right now. Can we just get the what's going on here, okay?
Well, what's going on here is this. I was in the bathroom and I was taking care of my business. All right?
Yes. You're whispering again, Margaret. Everybody can hear you.
I don't care. I'm a lady. Do you remember the song? We're talking about music. Do you remember Tom Jones? Well, she's all she's ever do. Do, 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 do. She's a lady.
Yeah, I remember that one, Margaret. Very good song.
Yeah. Well, I think Mr. Henry needs to be reminded of that. Now, I was in the bathroom. I was trying to take care of business. Because I'd had the chicken sausage, I told you, and I had an extra helping. All right? Okay, Phil? I want you to focus on me, Phil.
I'm hearing you.
But what are you embarrassed about?
All right, you had the chicken sausage.
I had an extra helping, and that's when I felt things begin to move through me. And that's when I said, well, I better go and take care of this. Right? And by the way, Bud, where are those long stick matches?
Oh, they're right over here, Miss Gray.
I've got to... Let me just go and light a couple of these.
I can't take it anymore, man.
What can't you take?
I can't take this. Her.
Phil, you know, you walk right into it, and here I was trying to give you a little bit of a respite, but with a song, and you're all, oh, I don't hear that. And I saw your face and heard you call my name.
That song sucks. I hated it when it first came out, and I still despise it.
Wow. Woo! Boy, you aren't pulling any punches tonight, are you?
No, I'm not. I mean, you know, it's not that I'm looking to insult you, Larry. I hate that song.
You hate the song? Those were the days. Nobody hates that song. That song is it's a marvelous drinking song. And now look at it. Here's the words. We sing and dance. We'd live the life. It's about being free. You know what that, and that's what Republicans have stood for from the very first Republican Party convention in 1856 in what state?
Wisconsin.
There you go. That a baby. Wisconsin, which is now overrun with liberals, infested with liberals. Wisconsin is like a rotting piece of meat. And the maggots are all the liberals that are up there. It used to be a nice, fresh steak. It actually used to be a cow. Now it's a dead cow. And
okay, I got it. Thank you.
Phil, do you have any matches? These?
No, I don't have any matches.
Well, these aren't working, but...
Yeah, I'll help you, Miss Gray. You probably need a whole book of them, don't you?
I really do, yeah.
We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Good Lord.
Days, my friend, we thought we'd
never. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. We have so many exciting things going on behind the scenes, but as I said during our pre-show, if you have a backstage pass, we start our video cast early. We start Phil TV at 9:15 Pacific. That's 15 minutes after midnight on the East Coast. That's when we begin our pre-show. And then we go on the air, and we are broadcasting on radio as well as video casting or Phil TVing. And I said to the backstage pass members, I said, there's so much stuff going on. I don't want to be specific. I don't want to misstate, but we've got a lot of really cool things that are going to be happening here in the next 6 months. I'm telling you, it is going to be epic in every sense of that word. So you have to join us at philhenryshow.com so you will have a box seat, man, for what's about to happen. Because it's going to be very, very cool. And we hope you can join us for that at philhenryshow.com. Our podcasting has been interrupted a little bit. We've got some podcasts that are going to be rolling out. But that, too, is part of some of the major announcements that we're going to be making. So just trust me on this. And
you don't want to say nothing because you want people to be disappointed.
No, it's not that I don't want people to be disappointed. I don't want to say anything for fear I will misstate or overstate or understate. And I made that mistake once before. I ain't going to make that mistake again. I'm not going to sit here and just...
People need to know some good stuff coming up.
Yes, good stuff is coming up. All right, 877-876-7445. And off air with Margaret Gray here a moment ago, the GMO labeling here in California. And we're going to have Frank Gray on the line. Frank's coming on?
Yes, Frank is going to come on. Frank wants to sing a tribute to me, his wife. You know, Phil, I don't know why you're upset with people singing. I think it's a wonderful way to express opinion.
Well, all right. I mean, I don't mind you singing, but Larry sucked. How good is Frank going to be?
You know what? Can a husband sing about his wife?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is...
Can a husband sing about the wife that he loves? Phil, certainly you wouldn't begrudge me that.
Not at all. You're absolutely right. Can I say something?
What?
He has gender confusion.
We'll cross that. Frank, my husband, ladies and gentlemen, Frank, has gender confusion. It's as the result of untreated neurosyphilis. Now, I know that sounds very bad, but it was when he was much younger, and Frank has a very sharp mind. He's a very successful man. But he gender confuses. So when he means her, he says him.
Yeah, when he means him, he says her.
Exactly. So keep that in mind as Frank sings the song he's going to sing. But it's a lovely tribute, and I'm very touched by it.
All right. GMO is genetically modified. What does the O stand? Dan and I were talking about it. But what it basically means here is there is a ballot initiative here in the state of California where there are two sides that are arming up and lawyering up and all that other jazz, all that other really heavy-ass talk. And there's one side that wants to make sure that food is labeled genetically modified. I happen to be in that camp. And
why?
Why? You got to be kidding me.
Well, Phil, these are hard-working, and a lot of the genetically modified foods are the very delicious, some of them are the very delicious parsley, the very delicious cilantros, the cabbages, and so forth. And these are grown by the very small, organically, proper people. You know what I mean by that?
No, I don't know what you mean by that, organically proper.
Your friend Dean Wheeler.
What are you talking about? These are like people that are back to the earth types?
A lot of them are, yes.
Well, what we're talking about is this. There are foods that are genetically modified. A lot of them are fruits and vegetables. There is a group that wants them to be labeled as such, and there's another group that doesn't. I happen to be in the group that I don't care. You better tell me, man. You better tell me.
Yeah, but all you gotta do is mess stuff up.
Whoa, wait just a second. Mess stuff up. If a guy is growing an apple and he decides by virtue of the fact that he has certain knowledge on how to make the apple bigger or whatever it is he wants to do.
Well, what would you do to an apple, Phil? Why would you genetically modify an apple if not for any other reason than to make it larger and sweeter? And perhaps, and I'm only saying perhaps, and perhaps it can decide when it wants to be picked.
You get out of here with that.
I'm just telling you.
Did an apple do that? That was Jeremy.
No, an apple can't do that.
Well, what? How do you know?
What? Will you get real here for a minute? Boy, that's even more grotesque than anything I could possibly... The apple decides when it wants to be picked. I'm just telling you this. If any farmer out there or any large, large company...
Oh, God, ever since you saw Michael Clayton...
Well, no, it isn't about Michael Clayton. Michael Clayton, by the way, folks, that's a great movie. You should see it.
Yeah, that's all about a big farmer poisoning people.
No, it wasn't. It was about a big corporate farming and how it can be. It was another one of these movies that I suppose you could say, well, George Clooney is in another one of these movies where, the corporation is evil and the individual person is being beat into the ground by the corporation. But it was a very good movie. It was very well acted. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Well, so what do you say? Monsanto is the big bad guy?
No, I'm not saying. I'm not saying anything. I'm saying, time marches on, and we, I'm sorry that's how we get our food now. There's corporate farming. I'm telling you though, I will not be steamrolled. I'm very emphatic as a voter and as a consumer. I will not eat food that has been genetically modified unless you tell me. I want that labeled.
Well, what are you gonna do about it, huh?
What's
Phil gonna do about it? If they want to feed, what are you gonna do? Are you gonna starve?
Yeah, I'll starve. How do you like that? I'll go on a hunger strike. Everybody, listen to me right now.
Phil, don't listen to Phil. Don't listen to Phil. Don't listen to...
Shut up, Margaret. Everybody, listen to me right now. In California and any other state where they want to push genetically modified food down your throat and they don't want to at least tell you that it's been genetically modified, I say I'll lead it. We go on a hunger strike. I mean it. We go on a hunger strike.
Yeah, well, you gotta go on a hunger strike until you die.
Maybe I will. I feel very strongly about this. Maybe I will. I will lead any voters that want to join me on a hunger strike right on the steps of any capital you want to, like Sacramento. That's a good one.
What about like Helena, Montana?
What do you mean Helena, Montana? What about it?
Well, that's the capital of a state, isn't it?
Yeah, but so what?
Well, what about there?
Well, it's fine. I mean,
a lot of farming in Helena, Montana.
Okay, Helena, Montana. I mean, I just thought maybe, Sacramento's a little more visible.
Boy, that's kind of racist of you and everything.
How's that racist, bud? What the hell are you talking about? How is that racist?
Well, you're being very exclusionary,
Well, so, all right, any state, just never mind these people. Pay no attention to the people behind the curtain. What's that mean? It's from Wizard of Oz. All right, now, you join me, and we will go on a hunt. I'm telling you right now, I there's not a lot that I demand. I'm a very laissez-faire guy, but nobody's feeding me food. I love vegetables. I love fruits. I eat a lot of them, especially since I've been on this diet. I'm a big banana eater. I'm a big strawberry eater. I'm, you know, lettuce, salads, all kinds of jazz like that. And, Jack, if I'm eating a salad and it's been genetically modified by Dr. Frankenstein and Igor, you know, I want to know, you know.
You think that's what they're doing?
But what's with the worried look on his face?
Well, he's worried about now if you say Frankenstein.
No, it ain't Dr. Frankenstein, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, I mean,
don't worry about it, bud. Don't worry. Just take it easy. Take it easy. God.
Well, you have scared him half to death with all of your talk. Bud, there's nothing to worry about. This is government-regulated.
Oh, well, there we go. Government-regulated. So you don't mind that kind of government regulation, but the government regulation that says let's go ahead and label it and let's tell people this has been genetically modified, you're against that.
Because it hurts the small farmer, Phil. I'm all about the small farmer. I'm all about that. That is what I am about. That is what, when I get out of bed in the morning and I look in the mirror and I see a woman, I'm about farmers. I'm about small farmers, you know?
What's that mean?
What do you mean? What does it mean? I'm about that.
Yeah, I agree with Bud. What does that mean?
It means I'm all about farmers.
Well, it's not like you sleep with them.
You know, if it weren't for the fact that you've already called me a racist tonight, I would bury my right fist in your face.
Margaret, when you say you're all about farmers, you're almost begging the question, what are you talking about? Naturally, he took it to sex.
Naturally. I have to remember that when I come on this program. All the class is out the window. All the taste is out the window. Treating me can we get my husband on the line, please?
Yeah, we're going to get him on. He's going to sing a song.
Yes.
All right, Frank Gray is next to sing his love tribute to Margaret. But you remember what I said, folks. Wherever you are, I mean, it's not a lot to ask. It's not a lot to ask. You know, there's labels on cigarettes, you know.
No, you say I'm going to give you cancer?
No, I'm not saying it'll give. I want to know what the hell they did. For thousands of years, man has grown food, and he has said, here's the food that I grew, and it came off of this tree, or it came out of the ground, and hey, this is my food. And I grew it, and I knew that this is what I was doing, you know.
Well, Phil, people have been genetically modifying food for years.
Well, hold on now. What we did as hunter-gatherers, and then when we started farming, where we would, you know, we would encourage the kinds of foods that we liked out of the very soil of the earth is one thing. It's another thing entirely to take that food into a laboratory.
Well, I don't think they're taking them into a laboratory.
Well, however they're doing it. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Frank Gray coming up next. Here, look at this. See that, bud? Oregon farmer eaten by hogs.
If that's what they're doing, they've got to do it.
Why are you scaring him?
I'm screwing around, bud. They're not going to do that.
That would be eaten by a hog or nothing. Is that what they mean by a genetically modified hog?
No, it's not a genetically modified hog. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
You scared him to make your point. What a cheap, dirty, lousy, creepy trick.
World-famous okay. Bill Hendry Show.
Frank Gray has joined us from Santa Monica tonight. Frank, how are you?
Young man, I'm better than Custer. How about you?
I'm doing great. Margaret is here.
Hi, honey.
Frank, I can't tell you how much I'm touched by you wanting to sing this song for me.
Well, you know, Phil, there's a lot of things that Margaret does that drives people crazy. I know it, you know it, but when the chips are down, he is... a terrific woman and a great mother, and I think he deserves a break. I know that he comes off as a little scatterbrain, but he's made me happy for 50, 60...
Well, Frank, we've been married 40 years.
40 years this last August, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, 1972. And I will tell you this, that... I want to sing this song to Margaret. It's the Tom Jones song. It's Margaret's favorite. It's called He's a Lady, and it goes something like this. Sorry about the volume there.
Okay.
Yeah. And two, three. Yeah. Well, he's all you'd ever want. He's the kind they want to, they plan to take it to dinner.
Two.
Well, he's always knows his place. He's got style. He's got grace. He's a winner. Yeah. He's a lady. Whoa, whoa, whoa. He's a lady.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about that little lady. Yeah. And the lady is mine. Hey. Well, he's never in the way. Always something nice to say. Oh, what a blessing. I can leave him on his own, knowing he's okay alone. Where's the dressing? Is that the line?
No, Frank, stop it.
I missed the script. Isn't it, the line is something about oil and vinegar dressing, isn't it?
No, darling, it's about... No, it's not about dressing. Where is the,
Hold on, let me turn the TV up. Jason, turn that crap down, will you? I don't care. If your mother was here, he'd go nuts. He wants to look at this Cinemax. She wants to look at Cinemax.
Not that Spice Channel.
Yeah. I'm talking to your mother, and he says you can't do it. So she wants to look at that.
You tell Jason J. Delmonico I don't want you looking at that filth.
I don't understand, Mom. I mean, these are the biggest breasts that I've ever seen in my life.
I don't want you watching that filth.
Yeah, I told you. Okay, here we go. Let me just go ahead and take it from the top. Bud Dickman. Whoa, he's a lady. And the lady is mine. Yeah! Well, he never asked for very much, and I don't refuse him.
Okay, I can't take it anymore, you know.
What's wrong?
Hold on. What are you doing, Phil? What are you doing?
I got to let my audience know what's happening here, you know.
What happened?
Hold on, Frank. Put him on hold, please. Put Frank on hold. What are you doing?
I got to let my audience know there's people tuning in and tuning out at any given moment, and I got to let them know what the hell's going on. They got a guy singing He's a Lady.
They know it's Frank.
I don't know that they know it's Frank.
Well, I was enjoying it, and I was listening to a husband making love by way of song to his wife, and you messed it up.
All right, Margaret, I'm sorry. Hey, Frank.
What'd you do to my wife? What did you say to him?
Nothing.
Well, you must have said something to him, because he's crying.
You know what it was?
Frank, it's nothing. I got emotional over the song, and we want you to start all over again because there was some distraction here in the studio and everything like that. And so if you just start all over again, Frank, can you do that for me, darling?
I'd be happy to do that. What do you want me to do with Jason Dave Delmonico? Because she's...
You don't know the name of our own son. Jason J. Delmonico.
Oh. It's Jason J. Delmonico. I thought her name was Jason Dave Delmonico. All these years, Phil. 14 years. How about that? Hey, Jason?
Yeah, Dad?
I thought your middle name was Dave.
Yeah, I know. I kept telling you it's Jay.
How do you like that? Boy, what a... Don't I feel like the horse's ass? All right.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead, darling, and sing the song, She's a Lady.
There it is. She's a Lady by Dave.
All right, you folks, he's got gender confusion.
Well, he's all you'd ever want. He's the kind you'd like to flaunt and take to dinner. And then he comes home, strips his underwear off.
Okay, that's it. That's it.
Well, what did you do?
That kind of listen to his dirty lyrics, okay? I'm not listening to that.
Yeah, tell Frank that I'll be home soon, and we can have a nice long talk about Mr. Hendry and what he's been doing here and how he butchered up Frank's song.
Frank butchered his own song up.
In what way?
Then I take her home and he...
No, he said I'll take him home.
Well, whatever. And off comes his underwear.
That's pretty funny if you think about being a guy the way he does a confusion of the gender.
Yeah, that's real funny, man. The problem is 90% of the audience is out there scratching their you-know-what.
Well, like scratching their crotch?
Yeah. And they go, what the hell are you talking about? And what the hell is he singing about? He's a lady.
Well, I thought it was lovely.
All right. Well, that's very nice. Thank you very much, Frank, if you're listening, and I'm sure you are. This is the most disgusting story that I have seen in quite some time. I'm doing my Bill Dance impression there.
Who's he?
He's that fisherman, you know, that he's always selling lures on TV. And everything this guy sells, no matter what it is, he always says, this is the best thing that I've seen in quite some time. It can be a lure. It can be a fishing pole. It can be anything. It's the best thing he's ever seen in quite some time. All right. Authorities are still trying to determine what happened to a farmer near Riverton, Oregon, who apparently was eaten by his hogs. This is now, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that it is it appears as if he was already dead. That was not the cause of his death, that the man had had some kind of an attack, some kind of a heart attack, and fell into the pen.
What do you mean, like the federal pen?
The federal pen.
Well, what are you talking about?
The hog pen.
Oh, sorry.
The federal pen. Yeah, the federal pen for hogs.
Yeah, I've been finding out a hog prison.
Yeah, they do have a hog prison. Wherever you go to prison, that can be for a hog.
Oh, man, the hog prison be for you, fatso.
I'm not that fat.
You have put on some weight, bud. All right, we'll be right back. Oh, no, we're not breaking yet. Okay, so an Oregon farmer who apparently was eaten by his hogs, whether the animals attacked him or he collapsed inside the pen is unknown. Well, you know, that's how a writer for the AP decided to make this an interesting story and get it moved along the national wires. We'll talk a little bit more about it when we come back, because I think it's very clear that this man had some kind of an attack, fell into the pen, and that's what happened. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Excuse me.
He's a lady. Whoa, whoa, whoa. He's a lady. Whoa. Look out. Look out, sunshine. He's a lady.
Phil Hendry.
No, I'm not right wing. Welcome back to World Famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, and online at philhendryshow.com. U.S. is tracking killers in attack on Libya mission. And here is on your Phil TV screen, there is the article. And there is a photograph of an individual. And this is an individual who appears to be exulting or is otherwise in a very challenging a very challenging and celebratory stance. He's wearing a T-shirt, and there is a fire behind him, and it looks like the embassy's been trashed. And the caption says, the widely published photograph taken in the aftermath of the attack in Benghazi, Libya, that left the our American envoy and three others dead, appears to capture one potential witness. The United States is laying the groundwork for operations to kill or capture militants implicated in the deadly attack on a diplomatic mission in Libya, senior military and counterterrorism officials said Tuesday, as the weak Libyan government appears unable to arrest or even question fighters involved in the assault. So there is obviously a struggle for power in the Middle East in some countries where there does not appear to be a civilian social order that exerts any real pressure, you know.
What do you mean?
Well, I think it depends upon, I think it really depends upon the country and its established social custom and adherence to law, you know. I mean, there may be countries where this kind of thing is not as likely to happen because the civilian populace is just not going to stand for it. There's going to be a much stronger support for police and army in dealing with it. And there may be countries that the people are not used to taking matters into their own hands because they were led for, you know, in the case of Libya, they were led for decades by a strongman, by a dictator. And there's no, and, you know, if you ask me, well, what country in the Middle East does have a tradition of people taking, you know, the civilian people, the civilian populace controlling policy or to some extent the police and army? You know, you have the Israelis, Israel.
Yeah, well, they don't count.
Why don't they count?
Well,
yeah, well, I mean, they're not really Middle East, are they?
What do you mean they're not real? What are you talking about?
Well, I think what they're saying is they are Middle East, but are you serious?
Why can't I count? What's wrong with me counting Israel?
Yeah, because they're not of the
what? Because they're not Arab?
Yeah, there you go. They're not Arab. They're white.
They're not Arab. They're white. Look, man. Apparently, you guys don't know diddly squat about Israel.
What? Wait a minute, Phil. Are you claiming that they're not white people?
I'm telling you right now, if you go to Israel and you look at the people of Israel, they have people there that have darker skin than the Arabs have. There are people, Jewish people in Israel, who are native people. Look, who were the people that everybody was screaming and yelling about that killed Jesus? They were Jewish, correct?
Yeah, but, I mean...
And where were they?
What are you talking about?
You want me to repeat what I just said?
Well, I mean, what's the point?
My point is that Jewish people have been in the Middle East for thousands and thousands of years, okay? So don't give me this bull crap about they're white people. They're Semitic people, just like the Arab folks of that region. And that is what we mean by anti-Semitic. We have come to believe we've come to think that means anti-Jewish. Well, if you're anti-Semitic, you're against the Semitic people of the Middle East. That would include Arabs. Okay.
Well, then why do they call them anti-Semitic?
Because it's a term that is that has come to mean anti-Jewish. The point that I'm trying to make here is the following thing. If there's a tradition in a country in the Middle East of a people, a populace, a civilian tradition of controlling policy, Israel is the obvious question, the obvious country. And another country that comes to mind, they're not an Arab nation, they're a Persian nation, that's Iran. As much as they have the imam and they have all that jazz, you know, that crap can bull crap they do, you know.
Well, what does, oh my God, you talk about racist.
That wasn't racist.
Well, what does that mean?
What?
What does it mean when you say all that crap can bull crap that they do?
I'm talking about that phony baloney democracy they have in Iran where you can vote on stuff and think that you're in control of your destiny, and there's some dude with a beard down to his belly button who looks like the guy that plays drums for ZZ Top, you know. And,
No, he looks like the bass player.
Yeah, he looks like the bass player in ZZ Top, and, I'm just kidding around, Dusty, if you are listening. But, you know.
Oh, I'm just kidding around, Dusty, if you're listening.
I knew that'd get your goat.
Well, I mean, who do you're all of a sudden Mr. Celebrity?
I knew that'd get your goat. I just knew it would.
Well, what do you mean? But do you know ZZ Top?
No, we met Billy Gibbons, came and watched the show one time. Look, will you just listen to what I'm saying? I'm saying that I believe that Iran has a very active, very educated, and a motivated populace. So even though they have a dictatorial sort of... a dictatorial kind of power structure. There's an illusion of democracy in Iran, and yet when push comes to shove, there's that guy, there's the guy standing there saying, well, now, my people, we thank you for voting, that was great, but we're still going to keep this scumbag. You know what I mean?
Well, all right, so in other words, if they had a toppling of the regime in Iran...
If there was a top... That's a very good example. If there was a toppling of the Islamic regime in Iran, I do not believe we would see the kind of violence on the streets that we're seeing, for instance, in Libya or in Iraq, for that matter. I think that the people of Iran have a tradition that they have not necessarily given up, you know, that they've kind of kept themselves tightly wrapped around the notion of a democratic society. I could be really wrong, you know.
Well, Phil, you remember the green wave and the green, I don't know what they call the green, you know, every time I think of what happened in Iran, I have to clear my mind because it starts with green and the only thing I can think of is, and you don't like me talking about it.
About what?
Well, the only thing I think of is a runny bowel movement.
Yeah.
Oh, quit being dramatic.
Oh, for God's sake.
Well, when you talk about Iran, what do you talk about?
The green wave, the green revolution.
Yes, but for me, it gets confused. That's all I know.
So in other words, when you think of Iran and you think of the green, your mind stops and it can only go to a runny ball movement.
Yes. Now, Phil, that is not unusual, and I would say the following thing.
That's disgusting.
I would say the following thing. If you're Iranian and you're listening to my voice this evening, can I just, hold on, Phil.
Turn our microphone down.
I'm sorry. All Iranians listening to me tonight, understand that whatever it was,
the Green Revolution.
All right, Phil, don't talk to me like I'm some child. All Iranians, the Green Revolution, I think, was an inspiration for people around the world. There's no question. But by calling it the Green Revolution, there are some people, myself included. God.
Well, Margaret, you're getting flustered.
It's just that when I try to make a point, myself included, who... their mind can't get past the word green. Excuse me, Phil. I'm sorry.
You're probably going to have to take another bowel movement.
Would you please keep him away from me?
Well, Margaret, when you belched just then...
I told you. I had apple sausage. The chicken.
What, does that make you belch?
I guess it does, yes. And I apologize, Phil, and I did apologize. And then that one there makes the comment about a bowel movement. Keep it away from me, Phil.
All right, Margaret. I'm just saying...
Keep it away from me. You, Bud.
Yeah?
Get away from me.
Don't you start what you started last night. Don't do it.
I apologize. I'm just telling you.
All right. Well, I've heard enough about you and the Green Revolution, okay? And that's all I want to hear. I don't want to hear any more about it. I don't think it's a problem that most people have. You have it? Great. I'm sorry. You know, that's a rough one.
Well, I'm just trying to say to all Iranians... If I didn't finish. All Iranians... I'm sorry. Please rename your revolution so that individuals like myself can be fully in support of it. And when I read a newspaper article about the Green, you know...
The Revolution.
When I read a newspaper article about the Green Revolution, my mind doesn't immediately go to...
Running?
No, I'm not going to say running. A loose and...
Okay, can you stop, please?
A loose bowel movement. What a child. Quit acting like a child, Phil.
All right.
And by the way, you have no matches, so I'm still looking for matches.
For what?
When I use the toilet.
Margaret, it was over an hour ago.
I understand, but...
Yeah, it's lingering.
Look at you laugh. You are a child, and I want everyone listening to the program tonight to know Phil Hendry is not some intellect. He's a little boy giggling and laughing behind the scenes.
No, I'm not. I'm disgusted.
Oh, sure. I have to go out and find matches. Excuse me.
Margaret.
Excuse me.
It is lingering, Mr. Hendry.
All right, bud. I've had about enough of this conversation having to do with these private matters on this radio show, and I'll tell you something. Ms. Gray is so into having her opinions heard and having her entire posture known to the civilized world that she'll talk about anything having to do with her, including the things that she's been talking about tonight, which I don't want to mention.
Bowel movements.
I said I didn't want to mention it, and other things. We're going to be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7455.
Truth
and I would
is
like
our
to,
bitch.
No, never mind.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Were you talking about me?
No, I wasn't. Go find your matches. To have that woman killed.
Yes, I would.
Well, Margaret and I were talking about a story we just saw on TV. This is a woman who was a church in the Midwest, right?
Yes, it was a church, and it was a small-town church, and there was a pastor there who was a handsome man, and there was a woman working there at the church who had a crush on this pastor. The pastor did not like the attention. She would leave food, and she would...
Oh, I saw this one.
No, hold on.
Yeah, she would leave food, and she would want to come in and clean up the pastor's residence and things like that. Now, along comes a young lady who becomes a member of the church. She's a very attractive young woman. Nothing's going on between the pastor and the young woman, but she's very troubled. And I guess she was embraced by the congregation. Make a long story short, this woman gets jealous. And she thinks that the pastor is at risk of falling in love with this woman, that this other woman is taken into her mind is a danger or otherwise is a really competing for his affection.
Yeah, and this is all in her mind, right?
All in her mind.
Who was the young lady?
She was just a young woman that had joined the church and was, and also I think worked for the church as in some clerical role. Well, this old bag, and that's exactly what she was, some real scary looking, she looks like she looks like a wood troll or a wood gnome, you know, Phil?
Yeah, all right, so she's got,
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with the kinds of are you familiar with these supernatural creatures?
What do you mean, gnomes?
Yeah, like a gnome or a troll.
I know about gnomes. I've seen all, like ones that they're selling in a gardening department.
Well, the ones they sell in the gardening department, I don't think are rendered accurately. Are you, Phil?
No, what are you talking about?
Are you familiar with the supernatural creatures that have been invented or otherwise have been seen by the primitive peoples of the early British Isles before they were Christianized?
Am I familiar?
Oh, Phil, don't make a federal case out of it. Are you? Are you not?
I'm familiar with early British... pagan beliefs? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, the pagan beliefs, yes.
Like elves and stuff?
Like elves, yeah. Are you familiar with them?
I'm not familiar with what they look like.
Well, what was the book you... Oh, God, you lie, God.
What do you mean I'm lying?
You said you read a book of early Irish history.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, all right.
All right, thank you.
But that's Irish history, not British.
Well, did they not have a tradition of misshapen dwarfs?
They had a character, a creature, that was some sort of a primordial creature that was believed in by the Irish people, the very primitive Irish people, and he was a dangerous creature.
Well, that's what she looks like.
You know, we could have got... Oh, God, you know.
What's the problem?
Yeah, it's taking so long to spit it out. Mr. Henry's doesn't even know what it is you talk about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, so anyway, this lady... You were doing so well until we got up to the subject of Irish gnomes.
Well, that's what she looks like. And this woman walked in, this woman walked in on this poor girl and killed her, shot her and killed her.
Yeah, and I think I know the story you're talking about now.
Yeah, and as they were leading this hanky old gnome off to prison, she says, I didn't do it, I didn't do it, I didn't do it.
That is a real psychopath there, man. You know?
Well, I don't think she'd ever committed a crime before in her life.
Yeah, yes, she did. You missed it.
Yeah, she killed. They think maybe she killed her dad or something.
Yeah.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, because if you looked at that story, this woman's a church woman, okay? And she's a woman that does this, she volunteers at the church. And so you're thinking, well, okay, cool. Kind of a middle-aged lady, you know, a single woman. I don't think she'd ever been married. Really sort of a dysfunctional person, but not dangerous, or so you would assume. She was one of these church ladies. Well, it turns out after they arrested her for the murder, a cold-blooded murder of a woman who came into this church, and this lady got into her head that this woman was a rival for the affections of the pastor, who had no idea. You know, the pastor was uncomfortable with the attentions that she was giving him, you know, because he didn't want to encourage any of that.
Well, would you?
No. And so she would be leaving food. I mean, I think she had a key to the residence because she was...
Well, that's the problem right there. She shouldn't have left the door unlocked. He probably wanted her to creep in I think he probably wanted to creep in and get in under the covers.
No, he did not, man. She was a cleaning lady. I think she took care of the residents, you know. Wanted her to creep in and get under the covers.
I don't think it's funny at all.
Yeah, he's probably worried. Yeah, a little bit of gnome love.
Yeah, we got some gnome love.
All right, take it easy.
You know, I don't think it's funny.
All right, fine. But in any event, this woman, when she got it in her mind that this young lady who had a, you know, this girl was troubled. I think she'd had a drug problem. She'd had a divorce, and you know, and the congregation rallied around her as a good spiritual community would. And in any event, this other woman got really jealous. And walked in on this girl one morning as she was getting ready to start her workday there in the office, the church office, and shot and murdered her. Shot her.
In cold blood, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And then splits and goes home and whatever she does. And it didn't take very long to figure out who did it, and she just denied it up and down, man. And then they found out, after they investigated her, they found out that her father had died mysteriously, I think, and her brother, and a gun had been purchased by her, I believe that this gun still was in her possession. So it was a backstory on this woman that was just way out there, man. Really creepy, you know.
Well, I heard you talking to Dan. I thought it was fascinating. And the two of you said, isn't it interesting? Do you ever try to identify who the psychopaths are?
Yeah. And I said to Dan, I said, that's kind of a fun thing to do. You know, the last thing you want to do with a psychopath, though, is let him know that you're onto him. And that doesn't mean it's dangerous, but that you, if you let a psychopath know that you're onto them, then they just avoid you. You know, they know that their bullcrap is not going to work with you. They avoid you, or they otherwise take steps to freeze you out so you don't mess up what it is they're trying to do.
What do you mean? Like try to kill a guy or something?
Take it easy, bud. No. I mean, there's all kinds of psychopaths. They could be the kind of people that just want to manipulate some chick into a relationship because she's got money. They could be the kind of people that just want to bullcrap you because you can do something for them. But if you identify who they are, if you're giving them that long look, if they see you, see them. Because psychopaths are predatory. All they see when they look around them are a bunch of chumps that they are going to take advantage of. And as smart as we all like to think we are, very few of us actually recognize these people. Very few of us, because they are, it's like, think of your best friend, and then think of your best friend sinking a knife into your back. That's how insidious these people are. So if you sort of nail them, you got to remember, you just made yourself an enemy, and I'm not saying they're going to hurt, because most psychopaths are not sadistic, but they will definitely know who you are, and, you know.
It's on.
All right, we'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're online at philhendryshow.com. We've got some more news to get through here this evening, including how Mitt Romney is going to redeem himself. Look at that. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show, where we take the news and just feed it right through Margaret's intestines.
That was unnecessary.
Oh, Margaret, I'm having fun. Come on.
That was absolutely unnecessary. Why did you say that?
Because all night long I've been hearing about green this and chicken sausage that. You know, did you find matches?
I'm still looking for matches. Why don't you have matches here?
Margaret, I got to tell you something. I don't smoke cigarettes, okay? I don't smoke cigarettes.
It happens to be something that people keep to be sociable. Do you understand what I mean by sociable?
Yes, I understand what you mean.
Why don't you have matches in the bathroom?
I'm sorry that we don't have matches in the bathroom.
Well, I'm going to have to go out and get some.
I thought you had a whole news break to go do it.
No, I was having a bite to eat. I'm very hungry.
Yeah, well, you keep on eating, you're going to have another bowel movement.
Would you tell it to shut up before I get physically...
No, you're not going to get physically anything, because if that happens again, I'll call the police.
You'll do what?
I'll call the police. You kick this kid in the ribs.
Oh, this kid.
Yeah, it hurt.
You know something? You got a real friend in this guy, Dickman. Stay close to him. He's a real friend of yours. But let me tell you something, Dickman. I just want you to know something.
What?
He can't help you in the real world.
Oh, boy, listen to this.
No, yeah.
Yeah, man, that sounds pretty heavy.
Yeah, it is heavy. He can't... See that guy right there, bud?
Yeah.
He can't help you in the real world.
Well, what does that mean, Margaret?
Never mind.
I mean, we can stay friends here, okay? I just don't want any fisticuffs. That's all I'm trying to say. God. The Cardinals lose but clinch a playoff spot anyway. That's right, folks. Baseball is now entering the postseason. Here we are, October. It's another postseason. Once again, the St. Louis Cardinals gaze at the big screen TVs, hoping for a little help. Unlike the previous night, there weren't any plans for a late night victory party. I'm sending them home, rookie manager Mike Matheny said after a 3-1 loss to the Cincinnati Reds on Tuesday, kept St. Louis's postseason plans on hold for a few hours. They need to get some rest. Almost everybody stayed put, though, and Matheny said the players who were left back in the clubhouse well before the Cardinals learned they'd be headed back to the playoffs to defend their world championship. He said players who were left were back in the clubhouse. Okay, reporters were not allowed into the victory celebration, but loud cheering could be heard beyond the locked door just outside the clubhouse.
Why don't they allow reporters in there?
Because they think it's intrusive.
Yeah, they don't want anybody sticking their nose in.
Well, that is really interesting. Don't they understand that...
They understand what? You know, Vernon Dozier often comments on sporting events and the sporting life for us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to get him on the line right now. And, Vernon, I was going to talk to you just in general about winning championships as a coach. Did you heard Margaret's question?
Yeah, I did, Phil. And to answer what Margaret... She was asking something about chicken sausage.
No, I was not. I was asking... God.
You didn't hear her question?
I did. I heard her talking about were there matches and she'd eaten chicken sausage.
No, I was asking why they don't allow report. My God.
Well, that's what you asked me. Did I hear her question? I heard her running around looking for matches because she'd had a dump that...
But you know something, Phil? Would you put him on hold if he's going to talk that way?
I'm sorry. I was asked a question. I'm trying to answer it.
The question that I asked Phil for the air... Are you there?
Yes, I'm right here, ma'am. I'm sorry if I got it wrong, but I heard you say I just had chicken sausage and I need a match because it is the stink in there is taking the paint off the walls.
I did not say anything. You know what? Good night.
Margaret, you're not allowed to just leave, okay? If you leave, you're leaving permanently.
Am I supposed to sit here and take that?
Ma'am, you asked me. What did I do wrong?
Nothing. Okay, the question is as follows. I'll ask it. The question was, why do they not allow reporters into victory celebrations?
Why do they not allow reporters into victory celebrations? What victory celebrations?
Sport? When a team wins... We had you on here to talk about the postseason baseball.
Oh, yeah. No, I understand that. I didn't understand the... It seemed like a very unusual segue. She was a moment ago running around looking for one of those powerful phosphate, those big wooden stick matches... Because she needed to burn a whole box of them.
Okay, man.
You know, he's doing that on purpose.
I'm not doing anything on purpose. I'm answering a question.
Okay, let's move off of that topic now. And now we're on to a new topic. And the topic is the St. Louis Cardinals clinched a playoff spot. I don't know. I'm imagining it was a wild card. I don't really know. Did they clinch the division? Anyway... The St. Louis Cardinals did clinch a playoff spot for the postseason in baseball, and they did not allow reporters into the locker room, into the celebratory space there. And so Margaret's question was, why not?
Oh, well, that I'm sorry, Miss Gray. I didn't know that that's what you were asking me.
Well, that's all right, but I'd appreciate if you'd listen.
I'm sorry, ma'am. The reason why they do that, Phil, is very simple. It's a very private... It's not a private moment, but it is a moment where the players want to be only with each other and enjoy in a private way without eyes looking in on what they're doing winning the championship. I mean, it seems pretty obvious. It's probably, I'm giving you an obvious answer, but it's oftentimes people, the reporters especially, take this stuff personally, and they think that they're not allowed to come in and enjoy the victory too. But as reporters, they should not be allowed in to see and to, you know, take notes on what they're seeing. Because again, this is a private moment. The players are engaged in activities that it's none of their business.
And but what I mean, you're making it sound, you know,
what are you talking about? Because it sounds, Phil was going to reference it. It sounds inappropriate.
That they're kept out, or
no? What the you're making it sound as if the players are doing something in the locker room.
No, what I'm saying is that there is a the players and the management and the coaches. After you clinch, we did this ourselves when we won a championship. When I was coaching college football, in that very brief time I coached in the pros, when we clinched a playoff spot, you know, immediately the press wants to come in, and you as a coach or as a player, you want to enjoy the moment. You've got some friends there, people that mean a lot to you, a co-player or co-players or your mates, people that you want to be with, and you don't want the press coming in and looking at what you have in mind. And I don't imagine it.
What you have in mind? See that.
Yeah, your choice of words is leaving more questions than answers. That's all.
What am I saying?
You I don't know, man. It's just that when you're talking about this,
what am I saying? I thought I'm speaking English.
No, I get the general gist of what you're saying.
Yeah, it's just that you're choosing your words in a way that makes me suspect there's something more going on.
Than what? Than celebrating the
Than celebrating the pennant.
No, there is nothing more. I'm sorry. The press is a very invasive presence, as you can well imagine, Phil, in the lives of professional athletes. Every single day of your life, you have not just fans, and certainly you don't just have the ball club that is going to be watching what you do and seeing how well you do, and you don't just have the fans that are commenting and are booing or cheering or whatever. You also have the media, and the media is and that's why the life of a professional athlete, I think we can probably safely say, they get paid enough so that they should be able to handle these pressures. But there are times, even in the public life of a baseball player, professional baseball player, football player, which is the world that I know of, there are times, especially after you've worked so hard all year long and you finally do capture the pennant, that it's a moment for you to reflect. It's a moment for you to sit down with an individual that, you know, your teammate, maybe a specific teammate. You can sit and reflect and have a moment with each other. And
you mean when you say a moment with each other, with the entire team?
Vernon, this is Margaret. Okay.
Yes, I know it's Margaret.
All right. When you say that they sit and reflect.
You know, I'm speaking English here, Phil, and it's getting very frustrating that you don't know what I'm talking about.
Because you're saying things like, you sit and you reflect with a teammate or the whole team.
Yes, because if you have teammates, that if you're a catcher, who are you going to hang out with? You're probably going to hang out with other catchers or maybe a pitcher. And that's also something that they have to deal with. When you got the press in there, and you're a catcher, you're a pitcher, you're a catcher, you're a pitcher. Okay, that's a baseball position. But in the larger context of life, that means something else. And you got to stand there and explain all this to some idiot who's wearing a bad sports shirt, weighs 8,000 pounds, has nothing whatsoever in common with professional athletes who keep themselves in shape. He's got a deadline to make. He's got his little cheap cassette recorder. He wants to interview you, and all the questions are going to be so stupid that they bring you to your knees in tears. You after he leaves, you drop to your knees and weep like an old lady, like just some old lady. Now, you don't have a great deal of love for the media after you're put through an experience like that.
Okay, that I understand, although you weren't very, you know, obviously complimentary of reporters.
Well, I mean, reporters, Phil, sports reporters are some of the sloppiest guys you've ever seen. They're big, fat, sloppy-looking slobs. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say this.
Do you have any friends in the media?
Oh, I know a couple of guys that have been fair with me over the years. There's a couple of guys that write, you know, hey, he's not a bad guy. You know, another, you know, maybe one guy, hey, you know, I don't think Vernon Dozier ever stole a freight train. You know? But for the most part.
What's that mean about a freight train?
It's just a figure. It's a figure of speech.
What'd he say?
What is it he want to know with a freight train?
Yeah, it's a figure of speech. I never did anything so bad. But I think in the case of a professional athlete as a baseball player, and you have won and have made your way into the postseason, and you are there and
I got to take a break here, Vernon.
Okay, I just want to finish up. And you are in that locker room for that moment, and you look into the eyes of your teammates, and now you have to understand something. What else is going on? All right, you're taking a shower. So it's natural when you have this emotional moment where you've won the pennant. You are together, you're celebrating, you are also now without any clothes. I don't want media around, and that's all I want to say about that.
Okay, well.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I know what you're thinking, and I feel sorry for you. If that's the sewer, Phil, that your mind floats in.
I'm with Phil. My mind, I guess, is floating in the same sewer.
Well, then I feel sorry for both of you. If you allow your minds to drift this way and that in the sewer that I think your minds are drifting in, sooner or later, that sewer leads to the ocean. But it doesn't go all the way to the ocean because there's a screen.
Okay, let me take a break. Thank you, Vernon Dozier. That's great. We'll be right back. World Famous, we're way late going to the break here.
Let's talk about a screen.
Never mind. We'll be right back. World Famous Phil Hendry Show. I've never
Truth
heard a guy.
He's our bitch. The Phil Hendry
Go
Show.
Spit it out, okay? I mean, this guy takes longer to explain.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, now, somebody asked a question. I think it's a very good question. And the question was the following thing. They said, well, now, wait just a second here. We were talking not too long ago. We just had a little sports moment there with Vernon Dozier. Thank you very, very much, Vernon. I'm sorry that we had to rush you off the air. I don't get it.
Well, I don't either. And I would love for you, Vernon, if you're out there listening still, for you to come back on the program at some point and explain to us what this private moment.
Well, the guy is all but saying it.
Are you talking about gay sex?
No, I'm not saying that, but he's saying that there's some kind of a homoerotic thing going on because he's talking about these guys don't have any clothes on, and, well, you can understand one thing leads to another.
What are you talking about, man?
I don't know. Ask him. All right, so we're moving on from that. One piece of business we didn't finish up, and I think we had a question on this. The United States has gone, at least in the person of certain intelligence officials, and I don't know whether this was, the anonymous sources. First of all, David Cloud and Ken Delanian of the Los Angeles Times report that the Pentagon, the CIA, and other U.S. intelligence agencies are assembling dossiers on suspects in the assault on the U.S. consulate in eastern Libya that killed the U.S. ambassador and three other Americans, a first step toward fulfilling President Obama's vow to bring the killers to justice. Now, there was an even more pointed article in the New York Times, which basically said this. U.S. is tracking killers in attack on Libya mission. That pretty much spits it out. And the question was, why would the United States go on record, either through an official statement or even with an unofficial source, and tip their hand to these terrorists?
What do you mean unofficial? Aren't they identified or something? I mean, if they're saying stuff, then they're not official.
No. That's not how it works. Margaret, you're a reporter.
Well, Bud, what it is this. They'll give the green light to someone to say something, even though all appearances are it's off the record. It's actually on the record.
What?
What I'm saying, boy, if I've got to explain this to him.
All right, I'll do it. Basically, what they're saying, Bud, is the following thing. They're making it look like, ooh, there's a leak. When in point of fact, there's no leak at all. They wanted the information to get to the press.
Why?
I think the reason why this information is being given to the press is because they want chatter. They want what I guess the intelligent guys call it chatter or noise.
Yeah, they want people to start using cell phones.
What? You mean the terrorism?
Yeah, the terrorists. If the terrorists know that the United States, you know, the U.S. CIA is on their ass looking for them, actively trying to find them, one of the things they're bound to do is start communicating with each other or communicating with individuals that can hide them. And that's exactly the kind of thing that the modern-day intelligence operative, the modern-day intelligence apparatus, intelligence gathering apparatus of developed countries, that's what they like. That's what they look for. That's what they want to find. They want to find out where are the cell phones. We track them. That's how they found, didn't they find Bin Laden that way?
Well, not exactly, because they got Bin Laden by following a courier.
Yes, that's right. That was not the cell phone.
Well, at some point they were tracking electronically what was happening. Probably the couriers, you know.
No, I did not see anything about them tracking electronically.
Well, Margaret, they did, because they had all kinds of photographs, and they had to, at some point, track. Look, once you know the guy's a courier and he's on his way to a house that you're pretty sure Bin Laden's in, you want to keep track of that guy.
Of course you're going to want to keep track of him, but you do that by following him at a distance.
Yeah, they probably like hiding.
What do you think this is, man? Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego or something? What do you mean?
What are you talking about, Carmen Sandiego? I'm talking about...
Well, you guys are... This is like some board game where there's a guy, spy versus spy.
No. I think what Margaret's trying to say, if I may, Margaret...
Yeah, go ahead, please, Robert.
I think what she's saying is basically this. The electronics is going to be a tip-off. So when we found out about Bin Laden and we found out about Bin Laden courier, we followed at a distance... You know, you wear sunglasses and a...
Probably in a white, maybe a white hat. Not a white hat, but not like in Spy versus Spy, but they got on sunglasses and probably a Panama hat.
Because it covers up the face.
You guys have got to be putting me on. You just gave me the whole Spy versus Spy thing, and you guys are saying, oh, this is Spy versus Spy. You guys got something out of a comic book there.
Why?
Phil, hold on, bud. Why would you say it's out of a comic book? It makes far more sense that you've got boots on the ground. Do you know what boots on the ground are, Phil?
Yes, I know what boots on the ground are.
You do?
Yes.
What are they? Watch this. Go ahead, tell us.
Watch this?
Yeah, Bud, Robert, watch this. What are boots on the ground, Phil? Well, what are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at you. You think that's a real big question? Boots on the ground means people. People.
Exactly. You need human beings.
Margaret, I'm not denying that. I'm trying to tell you... And these knuckleheads, okay, that along with the boots on the ground, you got to have... Nowadays, electronic surveillance is a routine. And you guys with their wearing shades and a big Panama hat and their phone...
Well, you have to laugh at us about it.
Yeah, I think that's disrespectful.
I do, too.
Well, you guys you're asking for it. They're following behind him. They got on a Panama hat, shades. Are they hiding behind palm trees?
I would imagine if they're in a restaurant that has potted palms in it, yes.
Well, I'm here to tell you guys that you're right out of a comic book, and...
Oh, okay, well, gee, excuse me, 007.
Yeah, 007. Yeah.
Shut up. We'll be right back, Phil Henry Show.
This is 007, man. Where's 008?
Yeah, that's a good one. Where's 008?
008
problems with 009. Okay. Phil Hendry.
So we have a, you know, as you know, and I've been giving you little drips and drabs and not a whole, not giving you the whole buffet, but we are planning and actively rehearsing, and we'll be beginning the first stages of promoting, using social media, etc., a one-man show based upon our radio show here. It will be performed in venues that, it'll be performed in significant venues, and it will be in venues not just in Southern California, but nationally. So I've had questions from people saying, well, is it going to be coming to my town? I don't know the specific places. I do know that we're talking about not only Los Angeles, but New York City and other venues, other locations. But that it's a ways off, and believe me when I tell you, I will let, well, the first people I'll let know it will be our backstage pass members during our pre-shows and during our Phil TV moments. But then I will also let my audience, my radio audience, know. And I'm really excited about it. I just am, man, because the thing of it is, you know, what we do on the radio and what we've done for 22 years on the radio cannot really be categorized in any radio terms. It's a satire, but it's
What do you mean by that?
Just never mind, bud. It's difficult to be talking about the satire when the satire is happening. So, nonetheless, I think it's a great place to start bringing all of the things together that we've done over the years on this radio show and presenting them to people in a completely unrestrained and untethered and unrestricted manner, which is really... I think what we've wanted to do all along, and that is just take it out and present it.
Well, you're not talking about doing a live remote broadcast.
No. God, no. This is not a live. This is not the radio show going out on the road. Not a chance. This is a one-man show. It's a theater. It's a presentation for theater.
I see.
All right. So. We will let you know all about that on our website and elsewhere as those days approach. Now then, I was going to finish up this story. It's a scary, ugly, rotten, stinky story. Authorities are still trying to determine what happened to a farmer near Riverton, Oregon, who apparently was eaten by his hogs. God. Whether the animals attacked him or he collapsed inside the pen is unknown. Now, this is written by Kim Murphy. Kim Murphy wrote it for the Los Angeles Times, and Kim Murphy wrote this article this way so it would be picked up nationally and perhaps placed in other newspapers, and Kim Murphy will suddenly have some name recognition with this story. Why do I say that? Because I don't think it takes a brain surgeon. And I don't think, you know...
But, you know, there's a tradition of a hog attacking.
Is there any... That's a very good question. Is there any tradition... Is there any information in the literature... And again, Phil, what we're talking about here is the literature. And by literature, I mean in the writings that have been done by, about hogs in the literature. Okay?
Yes, in the literature, yeah.
All right. Is there anything in the literature that would indicate that the literature about hogs and...
Yeah, about man-eating hog.
Yes. In all of the books that have been written about man-eating hogs... If,
no books written about man-eating hogs.
Oh, well, look at the authority on man-eating hogs.
Yeah, you don't know, Mr. Henry, the books that are out there.
Okay, but I mean, there must be... I don't know where you would look for a literature like that.
Well, I would think the police would know. I would think that the forensic individuals would know. I would think that certain forensic farmers... Farmers that are... In other words, farmers that are engaged...
By forensic farmer, what is that?
Well, what I'm saying is farmers that are engaged in the raising of hogs as well as the solving of crime. So I don't know...
Yeah, but there's got to be, a farmer detective.
A farmer detective. Well, now I've heard it all.
Here he goes now with his condescending laughter.
Now I've heard it all, man. A farmer detective, huh?
What are you laughing about, Mr. Henry?
Are you people serious? Are you trying to tell me that, well, there's got to be a body of literature written about man-eating hogs if for no other reason than there's a lot of farmer detectives out there? Name me one.
I don't know, Phil.
Yeah, you're not going to know about it because they probably work plain clothes.
No. Well, let me guess. They work plain clothes, I know, in a straw hat
with a pitchfork.
Stop being a smartass.
You know, Mr. Leonard, there are people out there that are dying every day that a farmer, well, I don't know, but maybe.
See, you're embarrassing Robert, now I can't spit it out.
Well, how about if you spit it out, bud?
Okay, I'll go ahead and I'll risk being laughed at by you.
It's all right, bud. You have the courage of your convictions.
Yeah. You don't know that there's people who sacrifice a life every day to be a farmer or to be a detective farmer. Okay?
Yeah. And what about what's the undercover?
I didn't say undercover. See, they're working plain clothes, and they probably wear jeans. If you're a plain clothes farmer, they're probably wearing jeans and work boots and a plaid shirt.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a really good undercover disguise. If you're like, oh, let's say, walking into a bar in Midtown Manhattan.
Well, Phil, why would an undercover farmer go to a bar in Midtown Manhattan?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he knows all about what happened to the guy that got eaten by the pigs. You people, I'm telling you, you're killing me.
I find you extremely condescending. Get David home.
Yes, I will.
Wait, excuse me. You don't direct my staff. I do.
I understand that, Phil, but David said that I could call him if we had a problem.
Oh, and you have a problem, do you? I love it.
That's right, Mr. Henry. You have more respect on it.
You know, Phil, I got to go with him on this one.
You know, you disappoint me more than ever, Robert. How could you possibly take any of this swill serious? Have you got him or not?
Yeah, just hold on for a minute. Yeah, Mr. David Hall, please. Bud Dickman. Yeah, we got a problem. David? Yeah, problem. Yeah, well. Yeah, he's doing it again. What's that? Oh, yeah. My mom? Yeah.
Give me the phone, man. Put him on the air, will you? What an old home week with this guy. Where is he? David, sorry to bother you, man.
What do you want? I'm just talking to Bud about the 10K that we're going to be in.
The 10K?
Yeah, I'm going to run a 10K.
Yeah.
Bud? You're kidding.
No, Bud's been working out. You're not the only guy that's Mr. Health. You know, I saw that picture that you put on Instagram of yourself. Gee, boy, what a self-aggrandizing ego case you are.
Well, I put the picture there because people were asking about my weight loss.
Yeah, no shirt. Hey, folks, go to Phil's account at Instagram. There he is with no shirt, and he's all, you know.
No, I ain't all, hey. I'm just there with no... I was actually in the middle of doing a podcast, and I took a picture of myself in the mirror.
Yeah, I'll bet you did.
Okay. David, I don't know why they called you.
Well, they're calling me up because you are mocking their commentary. Now, I said to them, it's one thing if you are acting stupid, and I said I can't protect you. And I said this to you, Margaret, didn't I?
Yes, you did, but we're not acting stupid.
Well, what's going on?
Well, do you want to tell him, Phil? Go ahead.
No, don't let Mr. Henry. He'll butcher it up.
No, I think it's only fair.
I'll tell him, bud. David, I got them here, and they're all of a sudden embarking on this bit of nonsense about man-eating hogs. And I said, I was talking about this case in Oregon.
What's that?
Some guy they found who'd been eaten by his hogs.
They found him?
Well, part of him. I mean, it's a grotesque story. So Margaret all of a sudden starts in with,
oh, Phil, what's with him? Are you squealing on me?
No, but she starts in talking about in the vast body of work that's been done on man-eating hogs, there must be a reason. And I said, what vast body of work? And she said, well, for instance, forensic farmers.
Yeah, farmers that may be detectives.
Well, I've never heard of that before in my life.
You've never heard of I haven't either, but when she said forensic farmer, it made sense.
Does the term forensic farmer make sense to you?
In the context of any kind of criminal act committed in a barn, or I guess on the whole farm is what you'd be talking about.
In the context, what about just regular cops?
Well, sure, regular cops. Why do they have cops on horseback? Why do they have plainclothes cops? Why do they have cops that fly around in helicopters? What do you mean cops? So they would have a cop that also farms.
I tried to tell him that, David, but he doesn't get it. He's really slow.
Phil, you got to get up to speed on some of this. Hello?
I'm here. Okay, thank you.
Well, wait a minute, Phil.
What? Get him. What got into you?
Nothing. I mean, I'm stunned. More than anything else, I'm just stunned.
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry, come on.
No. Not Mr. Henry, come on. No. I'll give it to you. I'm not going to argue with you. But don't tell me that I'm supposed to make the logical jump to forensic farmer or farmer detective, because that's just not going to happen.
You just heard Mr. Hall say that a logical statement would be about a farmer.
I just heard Mr. Hall agree with you three nuts.
Phil, characterizing us as nuts is not going to press your point home.
Yeah, you want to press your point home? Here.
You know, you... Get up. Put your finger through your zipper.
Well, you're asking for it.
No, I'm not asking for it. I've never in my life heard of a forensic farmer, a farmer detective, or any kind of nonsense like that. And I got money that says, Margaret, okay?
Phil, a fool and his money are soon parted.
I got money that says you can go into any library in America and you will not, I repeat, you will not find any volume on forensics having to do with or written by a farmer detective.
And if I find one?
What do you want? What do you think? $10,000.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, Mr. Henry. Are you kidding?
No, $10,000. You want to go it or don't you?
Oh, look at you. You all scrunched your face at $10,000. God, you were, Phil, you're very ugly when you're angry.
$10,000. You want to go?
Yes, I'll go. You're on.
I'm going to help you look for that book.
Yeah, good luck. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. Margaret's going to go out and scour the libraries of America now for this $10,000 bet and find a book written by a farmer detective.
Or a forensic farmer.
A forensic farmer, yeah. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Swine on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah. And this time, Iron Swine on the Phil Henry Show. Iron Swine is out. And he's out and he's farm hunting.
Yeah, Iron Swine is farm shopping with his girlfriend.
What's the name of his girlfriend?
Betty or something. I don't know, Susie. And they're near the real estate agent.
Yeah, Mr. Iron Swine, what about this farm here?
Yeah, I'll take it. This bitchin' farm, has it got hogs?
Sure does.
All of a sudden...
Ding-a-ling-a-ling, ding-a-ling.
Hello, Iron Swine.
Yeah. Hey, you gotta come out here, man, because the farm right down the street from the farm you just bought...
Yeah?
The farmer is... He got eat by a hog.
I'll be right there. And Iron Swine goes to the farm. Hi, I'm Iron Swine.
Yeah, Iron Swine, what do you think happened to this guy?
Looks like he got eaten by a hog. All that's left of the guy is his hat and his wallet.
What's the wallet say?
Oscar Myers.
Yeah, that's probably what happened.
Another crime solved by Iron Swine, farmer detective. Oh!
Yeah, man, Iron Swine, a farmer detective. Oh!
No, he's not a farmer detective.
Oh!
Very good, Bud and Robert. That was outstanding.
Yeah, Iron Swine, the farmer detective.
No, he isn't. You can't just make it up like that.
What are you talking about? Iron Swine bought a farm.
What do you mean Iron Swine bought a farm?
Well, he did. He closed on the farm and then had to go report for duty.
He closed on the farm. Oh, really? It went through escrow, huh?
Yeah.
So Iron Swine closes on his farm. Okay, thank you. That's a very good Iron Swine. Very good, you guys.
Yeah, see, that proves it.
Yes, sure, it proves it. You're right.
Well, Phil, I mean, you don't think it does?
Of course it doesn't. Iron Swine closes on a farm, and oh, by the way, Iron Swine, we need you to come out here and solve the crime of the eaten-up farmer, you know?
Yeah, but theoretically, excuse me.
What is it with everybody belching around here?
I didn't belch.
I told you why I belched.
Don't do that, Bud. It's not gentlemanly.
Sorry.
Now, so you think you guys have proved some big point by having Iron Swine close on a farm.
Why the hell is he buying a farm? What's his name, man? Iron Swine.
Yeah. Yeah, he wants. He always wanted to be a hog farmer.
No, man. That's not why you called him Iron Swine. You called him Iron Swine because of swine flu. Remember?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so what? I can change my mind. Now I'm saying it isn't.
You can't do that. You can't just change the rules of the game. Everybody knows Iron Swine, okay? You've been doing it now for a few years. You've been doing it ever since the stinking swine flu.
Ever since you got swine flu is on account of why I did it.
Okay, fine. But that's why you called him Iron Swine, because of the damn swine flu. It ain't about freaking swine as in pigs, you know?
Well, so it is, because that's a swine flu come from swine.
All right, fine. Jeez, guys. All right, look, you know, I'm not going to argue the point. I would suggest that you guys, if you don't believe me, that's fine. Go ask any cop, okay?
Well, what do you mean, go ask any cop? The regular police aren't going to know about that.
What are you talking about, regular police? Don't you think cops know different kinds of what kind of cops there are? Don't you think a regular cop would know if there's a motorcycle cops, helicopter cop, you know?
Well, I don't know. If I walked up to a regular police officer and say, excuse me, do you have a farmer detective division?
Yeah, he'd probably look at you like you'd lost your mind. And you know why? Because he doesn't have a farmer detective division.
You, what about, like, in remember when we saw...
I'll give you, here's where they may have a farmer detective division, like in Kansas, okay?
Yes, when we saw Capote.
Yeah, all right. Now, they have the Kansas Bureau of Investigation.
Why do they have that?
Why do they have what, the Kansas Bureau of Investigation?
No.
Because they have the Kansas Bureau of Investigation. They needed it at some point. I don't know.
Well, did we already get the FBI?
I know we have the FBI. The FBI, at the time that the Kansas Bureau of Investigation, I know why the GBI, which is the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, was formed.
Why?
Because of the racial stuff that was happening in the South. There were people bombing synagogues. There were people bombing churches. There was all kinds of terrorist stuff going on during the Civil Rights Movement. And so the state of Georgia formed the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. It was a special law enforcement branch that would investigate these kinds of crimes, and now the GBI essentially does the same thing. They investigate murders, homicides, bombings, acts of, you know, crimes of violence that overwhelm the local police departments. They have a state bureau, so they don't have to go to the FBI, see?
Is it the same thing with this Kansas Bureau?
Yeah, the Kansas Bureau of Investigation. I don't know how that started, I mean, but there must have been a time when the people of the state of Kansas decided they needed that. And they didn't want to go off to the FBI with every little crime. But I'll give you this much. I'm sure that in places like Kansas, in places like Nebraska, the industry of those states, being agriculture, probably that interfaces with law enforcement a lot, you know.
What do you mean interface?
I mean, they probably more times than not are dealing with some kind of violation of the law.
How to do with a farm animal.
I mean, I give up, you know.
Well, it does stand to reason.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They're probably having to deal with that a lot. So you win, okay.
Do I win my $10,000?
No, you do not win your $10,000, because the bet was you got to find a book.
Yeah, that's right, Margaret. You got to find a book on a farmer man.
You mean like a farmer detective?
Yeah, farmer defective.
Not a farmer defective, a farmer detective. And as far as, investigating crimes against farm animals, I don't know if that's what they got to do or not, you know. But I don't know how many states have those guys. The state of Texas has the Texas Rangers. And the Texas Rangers are, they're not exactly like the Cape. Maybe they are. And
what about Florida?
Florida has the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. There's all kinds of stuff in all kinds of states that do all kinds of things. I don't know what the hell they got in these states, but I know the KBI and the GBI.
They have like a CBI, the California Bureau of Investigation?
No, they got the freaking Highway Patrol is what they got. Okay, that's all I know. I thank you very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Please do join us online at philhenryshow.com as we will be posting our show log for you. Tonight, as soon as we are done with the show, we always put our show log up, and you're certainly welcome to join us over at philhenryshow.com. You can see what we did and what we're planning on doing. There's all kinds of show information at philhenryshow.com. And while you're over there, get a backstage pass a backstage pass, which allows you to access literally thousands of hours of audio on our website, philhenryshow.com. I thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Until tonight, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.